Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Steve Mungo McMichael, head coach of your Chicago Slaughter and longtime Chicago Bear, joins me now. Hello, Mungo.
Cap, is it really you?
It is really me. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm playing little trucks with my little girl right now.
That sounds like
fun. Can you believe it? The life change I've gone through.
Boy, have you changed things.
I really have.
But you sound happy.
Yeah, it's great playing like a little kid with a little girl. She wants you to get down on the floor. She's really going to run out of the room because I started talking to you and didn't pay no attention to her. That's great stuff.
I was playing a game called Shinny the other day with my son. It's a little hockey stick with a little ball, and you're on your knees.
You see?
Yeah, it's the best.
That's why life is a circle.
Life is a circle.
You're going to go back the way you came in.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Depending on everyone coming in and, God willing, going out.
Well, we can talk about the Bears being like that, too.
Oh, man. This is a huge game, Mongo, because
a
lot of interesting subplots. It's a road game. You can't go 0-2 after the bye, and you got Cedric Benson on the other side.
Yeah. And he's not going through his sophomore slump like Forte is he?
Forte does not look good.
Hey, a long time ago, do you remember when that defense hurt Cedric Benson's shoulder in training camp?
Yes, I do.
I always told everybody he looked at that like he was the unwanted one on that team, and so the defense cheap-shotted him.
What do you think happens this
weekend? That's why he quit running here in town.
Yeah, he was not well-liked in that clubhouse either.
Yeah, well, you know, he already had his money, like you don't pay a contractor up front in the real world, too, what's going to happen. And, you know, where's the motivation for him to bust his butt for guys he thinks don't even like him?
Why do you think the whole thing went so badly here? His stats were not good. He wasn't well-liked. And then he got into off-the-field trouble.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's been another story like that, Ricky Williams. And once he got to where somebody he thought, somewhere like in Miami, that he thought somebody liked him and wanted him to play for him, well, he busted his ass and won the rushing title, didn't he?
He did. He all of a sudden became a different guy.
Yeah. You know, a locker room and some little kid that's always been a star, always been pampered, he gets into a professional locker room, he don't get that same treatment. Well, he gets his feelings hurt, and he don't try as hard for those guys.
When you were in the locker room there, who would you say controlled the locker room during those great Bear teams?
It was myself and Dan Hampton.
That's what I figured. I was going to ask you, was it Walter or was it you and Hamp?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Walter was the practical joker, and that's how he got his point across. Dan and I played in a rage, and 24-7, you know how an actor gets that part and becomes that part till the director says the movie's over? Well, we were in a great soap opera, and boy, were we good actors.
All right, now, Cedric Benson gets released by the Bears and then finds new life at Cincinnati. You were released by the New England Patriots.
Yes.
Take us back through that whole thing and why you became so good in Chicago.
Well, the guys on the Patriots love me because I wasn't brother-in-law with them in practice. You remember John Hog Hanna?
Yeah, the best offensive tackle ever.
The year I came to New England was when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, best offensive lineman ever. Well, brother, the first day in training camp, I was going to see how I measured up. So the coaches and the owners looked at me like some cocky little kid that didn't know his place. But, you know, if you got a guy, it's even a rookie that's out there reaving in practice and beating your starters on offense, maybe you ought to give him a look, huh?
Exactly right, because most rookies are a little tentative. You came out aggressive.
Oh, yeah. Hog Hanna was one of the veterans when I was cleaning out my locker after the Turk told me to get out of town. He came down and patted me on the shoulder and said, kid, they're wrong about you. You can play pro ball.
Okay, so you come to the Bears and they pick you up for the waiver price.
Yeah, I was a free agent back when that meant you weren't any good.
Okay. They tell you, Mongo, you're no good. Beat it. You leave. You come to Chicago. Was your mindset different when you arrived in Chicago? Did it
not
change
after
you?
Talking to George Halas himself in his office who signed me to my first contract? He said, "Steve, I don't. What bothered them in practice? How you'd go? I want you to do that here." And boy, you know the dividends it paid. The biggest compliment, Cap, I ever got in my life, and Dan too, was when Jay Hilgenberg, who made the All-Pro six times here after this, said, "You know, guys, practicing against McMichael and Hampton, the games are easy."
That's a phenomenal thing for someone to say because it makes it work.
I hope everybody's listening to what I said out there, how good that's going to make the offense on your team. Not just giving them what they want and, oh, boy, okay, that play works. Well, when somebody's going live in a game, maybe that play isn't going to work.
Right, they find out because you're not just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Looking at, we're talking with Steve Mongo McMichael, as you look at this Bear-Bengal game, how do you break it down? Do you think the Bears go in there and win it? I think it's going to be a tough football game.
Let me tell you what, do you remember that shot Lewis gave him in the head and got a fine? If he was talking like that before our game, I was going to play him, I would hit him in the head too.
So would you listen to what guys said in the newspaper or on the radio?
Big motivation, baby. Bulletin board material. Everybody's wrong about that, saying, "Oh, that don't mean much." Brother, that is motivation.
So
the kind of motivation you can use to not come out flat out of the locker room when the game starts.
So do you think that Bears players are going to say, "No chance Cedric Benson's running on us, pal. It's not happening"?
Well, you know, they've already expressed their dislike for him when he was here. They just need to follow through with it when the game starts.
I would think if he goes out and has a big game, that could have a devastating effect for a week or two, a carryover, because it would just drive him crazy.
Do you remember what Vince Lombardi said of how to get to the ball in a bad attitude? That's what they need to adopt.
A bad attitude.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, just like life is a circle, nothing's being done on a football field blocking and tackling that ain't been done since 1920.
Now, did you
use... And you can learn that from the old men.
You can.
Oh, yeah.
Did you used to bang your head into your locker before the game?
I'll do everything. I'd do anything to fire myself up. You kidding me?
Boy. Now, Tommy Harris is probably not going to play. He's got a bum knee. How big a loss is that for the Bears?
Well, what are you talking about? As far as dollars or playing time?
Yeah, playing time. I mean, is that really?
What does he make now? $10 million a year?
Oh, he just got some insanely big roster bonus.
Well, you know what? He does good work. He gives his money and his time to charities, and that's a good thing. If that's financing that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But everybody can see him dragging his leg.
But how does that affect them being able to stop Cedric Benson then?
If you don't have your all-pro tackle, they might be running the veer blocking and him cutting back. You know, as the lesser defensive linemen make holes.
Yep. Mongo, before I let you go, do you think Tommy Harris, looking at him, and you've been in that position, do you think maybe he will just never be again what we used to have in Tommy Harris with that knee?
Oh, man. I mean, they've given him every opportunity in the world since training camp started for that knee to be right, haven't they? It's not like they've been beating him up. And,
right.
And it's still not right. I don't know if he's not getting it fixed by the right doctor or what. But if it's not the doctor, then maybe we've seen the best of Tommy.
Yeah, that's...
If he's not going to do anything about it but what he's done already.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Well, are you rooting for Brett Favre or no?
I'm rooting for the Bears to whip his ass, Cap. Are you kidding me? You know what I said when they said, "Well, what do you feel? Well, how would you feel if you were still playing and then Brett Favre came to play for the Vikings? How would you feel about him coming into your division?" You know what I said? I said, it didn't matter how old I was and slow, I knew I could catch his old ass.
Mongo, go back and play with your daughter.
Yeah, but she's tearing up the house in there, man. I better make sure it's not on cap.
Go get her. All the best. Oh, by the way, you are going to be involved in the iHobby Expo this Saturday because you are a guy who's a huge remote control car enthusiast, aren't you?
I've got a big, this thing is like a go-kart that I got at an appearance I did at one of the stores.
Yep.
They had this big car. It's like a go-kart, but it's remote control, like a NASCAR.
It's got to be fun.
My whole life I've, had hobbies and collected things.
All right, you're going to be out there at the Stevens Convention Center tomorrow, 10 to 1.
Yeah. Signing autographs, baby.
You're the best.
Signing autographs for the kids.
I'll see you soon.
All right, Cap.
Bye-bye.